Chapter 26, The Lungs and Respiration, Physiology of Respiration. The health of the entire system depends upon the healthy action of the respiratory organs. In order to have good blood, we must breathe well. The lungs, in order to be healthy, must have pure air. Your lungs, deprived of air, will be like a hungry person deprived of food. Indeed, we can live longer without food than without air, which is the food that God has provided for the lungs. The strength of the system is, in a great degree, dependent upon the amount of pure, fresh air breathed. The lungs are restricted. The quantity of oxygen received into them is also limited. The blood becomes vitiated and disease follows. It is impossible to go out in the bracing air of winter's morning without inflating the lungs. The compression of the waist by tight lacing prevents the waste matter from being thrown off to its natural channels. The most important of these is the lungs. In order for the lungs to do the work designed, they must be left free without the slightest compression. The lungs are cramped, they cannot develop, but their capacity will be diminished, making it impossible to take a sufficient inspiration of air. The abdominal muscles were designed to aid the lungs in their action. Where there is no compression of the lungs, the motion is in full breathing will be observed to be mostly of the abdomen. When tight lacing is practiced, the lower part of the chest has not sufficient room for action. The breathing, therefore, is confined to the upper portion of the lungs, where there is not sufficient room to carry on the work. But the lower part of the lungs should have the greatest freedom possible. The compression of the waist will not allow free action of the muscles of the respiratory organs. Causes of diseases of the respiratory organs. Many suffer decayed vegetable matter to remain about their premises. There is constantly arising from these decaying substances an effluvium that is poisoning the air. By inhaling the impure air, the blood is poisoned, the lungs become affected, and the whole system is diseased. If a house be built where water settles around it, remaining for a time and then drying away, a poisonous miasma arises, and fever and ague, sore throat, lung diseases, and fevers will be the result. Especially in wet seasons, the sleeping rooms become damp, and those who sleep in the beds are troubled with rheumatism, neuralgia, and lung complaints, which generally end in consumption. Many families suffer from sore throat, lung diseases, and liver complaints brought upon them by their own course of action. They keep their windows and doors closed, fearing they will take cold if there's a crevice to let in the air. They breathe the same air over and over until it becomes impregnated with the poisonous impurities and waste matter thrown off from their bodies through the lungs and the pores of the skin. For invalids who have feeble lungs, nothing can be worse than an overheated atmosphere. The heated, depressed atmosphere, deprived of vitality, benumbs the sensitive brain. The lungs contract, the liver is inactive. Stomach, liver, lungs, and brain are suffering from a want of deep, full inspirations of air, which would electrify the blood and impart to it a bright, lively color, which alone can keep it pure and give tone and vigor to every part of the living machinery. Speaking from the throat, letting the words come out from the upper extremity of the vocal organs all the time, fretting and irritating them, is not the best way to preserve health or to increase the efficiency of these organs. Careful attention and training should be given to the vocal organs. They are strengthened by right use, but become enfeebled if improperly used. Their excessive use will, if often repeated, not only injure the organs of speech, but will bring an undue strain upon the whole nervous system. The delicate harp of 1,000 strings becomes worn, gets out of repair, and produces discord instead of melody. It is not necessary to talk in a loud voice or in a high key. This does great injury to the speaker. The human voice is the precious gift of God. It is a power for good, and the Lord wants His servants to preserve its pathos and melody. The voice should be cultivated so as to promote its musical quality, that it may fall pleasantly upon the ear and impress the heart. But the vocal organs are strangely abused greatly to the injury of the speaker and the discomfort of the hearers. They injure the throat and vocal organs when it is not called for. This is in consequence of the unnatural position of the body and the manner of holding the head. You dislike your physical taxation while talking and exercising your throat makes you liable to the disease of the throat and lungs. You should not let the labor come upon the upper part of the vocal organs, for this will constantly wear and irritate them and will lay the foundation for disease. The action should come upon the abdominal muscles, the lungs, and the throat should be the channel, but should not do all the work. Many speak in a rapid way and in a high, unnatural key, but if they continue such a practice, they will injure the throat and lungs, and as a result of continual abuse, the weak and inflamed organs will become diseased in a serious way, and they will fall into consumption. There is need that among our ministers careful attention should be given to the culture of the voice, or many will lie down in untimely graves. The proper use of the vocal organs will bring benefit to the physical health and increase your usefulness and influence. The extremities are chilled, the heart fails in its efforts, and the limbs become habitually cold, and the blood which is chilled away from the extremities is thrown back upon the lungs and brain, and inflammation and congestion in the lungs or the brain is the result. If the limbs and feet could have the extra coverings usually put upon the shoulders, lungs and heart, and healthy circulation be induced to the extremities, the vital organs would act their part healthfully with only their share of clothing. I appeal to you, mothers, do you not feel alarmed and heartsick by seeing your children pale and dwarf, suffering with catarrh, influenza, croup, scrofulous swellings appearing upon the face and neck, inflammation and congestion of the lungs and brain? Have you studied from cause to effect? Leaving their arms and legs insufficiently protected has been the cause of a vast amount of disease and premature death. It is essential to health that the chest should have room to expand fully so that the lungs may be enabled to take full inspirations of air. Many who have died of consumption might have lived their allotted term of life had they dressed in accordance with the laws of their being. The strength of the system is in a great degree dependent upon the amount of fresh air breathed. If the lungs are restricted, the quantity of oxygen received into them is also limited. The blood becomes vitiated and disease follows. The arms being naked exposes the infant to constant cold and congestion of lungs or brain. These exposures prepare the way for the infant to become sickly and dwarfed. Catarrhal difficulties, kidney disease, headache, and heart troubles are the result of immoderate eating. By the habitual use of sour cider, many bring upon themselves permanent disease. Some die of consumption or fall under the power of apoplexy from this cause alone. Every poisonous preparation in the vegetable and mineral kingdom taken into the system will leave its wretched influence affecting the liver and lungs. Care of the respiratory organs. Morning exercise, walking in the free, invigorating air of heaven, or cultivating flowers, small fruits, and vegetables is necessary to a healthful circulation of the blood. It is the surest safeguard against colds, coughs, congestion of the brain, inflammation of the liver, the kidneys, and the lungs, and 100 other diseases. A walk even in winter would be more beneficial to the health than all the medicine the doctors may prescribe. There will be increased vitality, which is so necessary to health. The lungs will have needful action, for it is impossible to go out in the bracing air of a winter's morning without inflating the lungs. The strength of the system is in a great degree dependent upon the amount of pure air breathed. In the cool of the evening, it may be necessary to guard from chilliness by extra clothing, but they should give their lungs air. Many labor under the mistaken idea that if they have taken cold, they must carefully exclude the outside air and increase the temperature of their room until it is excessively hot. The system may be deranged, the pores closed by waste matter, and the internal organs suffering more or less inflammation because the blood has been chilled back from the surface and thrown upon them. At this time, of all others, the lungs should not be deprived of pure fresh air. If pure air is ever necessary, it is when any part of the system, as the lungs, is diseased, or stomach is diseased. Air is the free blessing of heaven, calculated to electrify the whole system.